Hello, everybody. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve, and we are in our second day of this month's technology feature called Automakers Continue to Make Streets Safer. Thank you for joining us today. We're so happy, and we know we have, or you have, a lot of choices in how you study English. And so thanks again for joining us here at Advanced. In the studio with us again today is Ruth. Welcome back, Ruth.
Thank you, Steve. I'm glad to be here. I think we've learned a lot of interesting things about new developments in safety features on cars.
We sure do. Did and do. We're going to learn a few more today. And also in the studio, Mike, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here with you again. I'm really excited about this second day. There's such interesting things happening in the automotive industry.
There are. And I just remember, I feel, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, living here in Asia, like a lot of the technology happened here first. Would you say that's true? Like the first time I saw backup sensors and backup cameras in a car was here in Asia.
I think so. I think, you know, even I think of something like cell phones. Maybe they were developed in the West, but Asia has taken them and gone so much further, so much faster than we did in the West.
Yeah, I feel that way. I feel like the Asian people really know how to take and run with it, a new technology or gadget, and they really do that. And so the West is kind of finally catching up with backup cameras. That may be something you've had or are familiar with for the last 5-10 years. They've existed here, and sensors as well. Well, the West is finally picking up and catching up with that. Mike, is there something that you'd like to highlight from yesterday's lesson for our friends?
Yeah, Steve, backup cameras, because this hits close to home. My wife said, if we get a new car, I want a backup camera. She said that really helps me to see what's behind me because I'm kind of short, she said, and I have a hard time looking back, and she said that would be ideal for me. So I'm currently looking for a car, and I want to find one with a backup camera.
Right.
Well, you know, Mike, if you can't find one with a backup camera, we learned yesterday about aftermarket add-ons. There's places you can go and buy the feature that you didn't get on the car and put it on yourself. And backup cameras happen to be one of these aftermarket add-ons.
That's right. And in the United States, they will be standard for all cars modeled after the year 2018 and later. All the models will have that feature. It's a great feature to see what's going on as you're backing up. Ruth, what about you? Is there a point you'd like to reiterate?
Well, I think it's the whole idea of your blind spot is important, that there's now a way that maybe a light will come on your side mirror to let you know that something is in your blind spot. But as we discussed yesterday in the program, it's important just for the driver to be vigilant anyway and looking out for things that are going on around the car. So you can be your own blind spot protection as well as depending on that light.
Good point. Yeah, people have been driving for decades without these blind spot protection warnings, but if you're vigilant, if you're a good driver, you know how to handle yourself on the road, but the blind spot protection certainly won't hurt you if you have it in your car. It could only help. Today, we are on page 13, and we've got more features to help save lives, not just the cameras and the blind spot protection and the forward collision warnings. Let's talk about lane departure warnings. We're at the bottom of page 13. Please join us for the reading as we begin On the Road to Safer Streets.
On the Road to Safer Streets. Lane departure warning. Using a camera, a lane departure warning automatically alerts drivers if they've shifted or are shifting outside their lane. Semi-autonomous cruise control. Limited as an option to some of the luxury brands such as Audi and Tesla, semi-autonomous cruise control, also called adaptive cruise control, allows the vehicle to take over both throttle and steering. Koenig says the feature is ideally built for traffic jams, when you're following the vehicle in front of you at lower speeds.
Okay, we're on the road to safer streets. Yesterday we looked at the pun gearing up to save lives. Gearing up had two meanings, and the author hits us with another one today. Ruth, would you like to tackle this for us? On the road.
Sure. Whenever you talk about being on the road to something, that means you're on the way. You're getting there. So, for example, maybe you're in college now. You could say you're on the road to a degree because you're working toward that. Here, of course, they mean that we're on our way, but also where do cars drive? On a road. So, therefore, it's a kind of a pun.
Okay. You might think that's clever. Some English speakers might think, they're... puns are not really that great.
Some people like them.
Yeah, puns are fun. Some people think, oh, it's a groaner, you know. But at least our author's having fun. Now, this technology, lane departure warnings, is really, really maybe one of my favorites. People, I feel, don't use their blinkers as much or at all compared to what they should be doing. And so this is good for that, to indicate, you should indicate when you change a lane. And you need to stay in your lane if you're in a lane, not just wander back and forth. And something that I find here, maybe in the States they have this, they have those little bumps right on the line so that when you're changing lanes, you're going to go over it, da-doom, da-doom, right? They have that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing to help the driver know, okay, you're either wandering out of your lane or you're changing lanes, but it's a good reminder.
Right. Also, Steve, along the outside of the road, beyond the lane on what we call a shoulder of the road, there are bumps there, too, so that warns the driver that if you go too far out of your lane, you hit the bumps and you realize, oh, I'm getting off the road. So, again, it's a safety feature. But this, I think, is taking it one step further, where you're inside the car and there's going to be some kind of warning that your car has drifted outside the lane that it belongs in.
Okay. Really, really good. Talking about that thing on the shoulder, too, and this in general, we talked about a lot of people fall asleep at the wheel.
Fall asleep at the wheel.
Right, Mike?
They do. They fall asleep at the wheel. And I believe that that's why this new feature is so important, because it can avoid head-on collisions. Not purposely intended, but that's just what happens when people either text behind the wheel or fall asleep. Their attention is taken off the road, and before you know it, in a matter of 2 seconds or 3 seconds, you're in somebody else's lane.
Yeah, you're in oncoming traffic, and that is a scary thought. And so even if you're drifting to the right on the shoulder, those... what is it, a rumble strip?
It's a rumble strip.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
A rumble strip will wake you up. It's like do-do-do-do-do-do, and it'll shake your car a little bit and wake you up. So that's a good thing. Well, this particular technology, it's using a camera. A lane departure warning automatically alerts drivers if they've shifted or are shifting outside their lane. And use the word shifted twice. I prefer using wandering outside of their lane. Shifting seems to have more like intentionality.
I like the word drift.
Drifting.
Meaning it
yes.
just kind of happens, like Mike was saying, when you're distracted, when you're trying to change the station on the radio, or you're looking down at your phone because it just binged that you got a text message,
yeah.
or you're trying to get something to eat out of the cooler next to you.
yeah.
All those things can cause you to drift because you're not focused on your driving.
That's right. That's right. Very, very important. So, I like this one. We don't know yet if it's going to be mandated or not in the future, but we probably can expect to see it in more and more cars as time goes on. Let's move on to page 14 now and go to our next technology, semi-autonomous cruise control. That's a huge word there, semi-autonomous. Mike, would you be willing to help us tackle this word?
Well, it says limited as an option to some of the luxury brands, such as Audi or Tesla.
Okay.
Semi-autonomous cruise control is also called adaptive cruise control, and it allows the vehicle to take over both throttle and steering.
Okay, great.
And if you look at that long word, semi-autonomous, you can understand it if you take it apart. Autonomous means under your control. If I am autonomous, I am in control of what I'm doing. And if you add semi, it means partly or part. So in other words, this cruise control is not totally belonging to you. There's part of the machine that's taking control as well.
Right. And this is something that I talked about earlier. This is something I don't want to give up when I'm driving. I don't want to give up the control when I'm at the wheel. I don't want the car to take over. I want to be independent and autonomous.
I could see why somebody would want this, though. How many times have you been in bumper-to-bumper traffic where you are making very slow progress and it stops, start, stop, start, stop, start? And it might be convenient for some people just to click this on and say, well, you take over the car for me and I won't have to continually focus on stopping and starting.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, that's what it says later on in this paragraph, is that this man, Koenig, says that it's especially built for that purpose, traffic jams, where you're just inching along and just making a very little bit of progress for quite a long time.
Is that also an opportunity? Do many accidents happen in the stop-and-go traffic?
It can.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Because people, again, get distracted. They're so tired of focusing, and their mind will wander for a minute, and all of a sudden they'll look in front of them, and the car is stopped, and they'll be running right into it.
Yeah, it may not be fast, but it'll be a little fender bender anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see people, you know, waiting in traffic for half an hour, stop and go, and they're like, well, let's look at the phone, and they've got one eye on the road and one eye on the phone, and I could see how that would happen. Well, it takes over. This is the weird thing, though, for me, Mike, is that it takes over not just the throttle, but the steering.
That is strange to me, too. I can understand how it would take over the throttle, especially if there's sensors in the car for stopping and starting. But takes over the steering, I guess it keeps you in your lane. I don't see really how that works other than that way.
My concern, Steve, would be, what if that function malfunctions?
Yes.
In other words, it starts taking over the steering, and I can't take it back, and it's going to cause an accident.
It's like a science fiction film, you know, where Hal takes over the computer. And totally, I understand that. And I think we're getting into the realm of self-driving cars a little bit here, aren't we? And that's something that's very debatable, and people are weighing the pros and cons of that technology. Would you get in a car that drives itself 30 miles away to another destination? Do you foresee yourself ever doing that?
I personally would not like that because I enjoy driving. I like the whole process of handling the car and being in control of it. So if I'm going to go on a self-drive, I will take the bus or the train.
Yeah. Yeah, and Mike, you enjoy driving, too.
I enjoy driving. There's kind of a sense of freedom and relaxation driving down a highway. I like cruise control, Steve. You said you really don't. But at a moderate speed, maybe listening to music, it's an enjoyable experience for
me. So would you ever see yourself getting into a self-driving car and just sitting back and relaxing?
I don't think I would like it or want it, but it may be mandated on us at some time, future point. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, friends, we have a few more technologies, a few more things to look at. Let's look at interior sensors now. Let's read on line 8.
Interior sensors. Koenig says the future of cars is exciting and will continue to evolve. He adds that cars might soon come with inward sensors that will have the capability to adjust the car's suspension for a smoother ride, based on how many people are in the car. The technology will also have the ability to identify if people are injured from a crash. From a safety standpoint, they'll be able to tell if someone is in a serious condition and could tell if the occupants are breathing and their heartbeats, he says. There will also be a sensor that can detect drowsiness and alert the driver if they need to pull over. By the end of the decade, these will be more common. They'll start on higher-end vehicles first. Automatic crash notification. Automatic crash notification automatically alerts emergency personnel if the car has been involved in a crash and provides the location of the vehicle. Frontal pedestrian impact mitigation braking. Designed to prevent collision with pedestrians, the technology relies on a sensor to identify a pedestrian within striking distance and will automatically apply the car's brakes.
All right, friends. Today we looked at semi-autonomous cruise control. We looked at lane departure warnings, and now let's talk about interior sensors. Ruth, would you help take us into this next paragraph?
Sure. We're talking now not just about safety, but about comfort for the passengers. If there are sensors, meaning small little devices that sense or let you know something is happening, they're going to try to make the journey or the trip more comfortable because they can adjust the car's suspension, which means its ability to cushion you from bumps and things on the road, depending on how rough the road is and how much weight or how many people are in the car.
Okay. I think this is easy. This technology has existed for years already in buses, right?
In I coach think it buses. Has to be, yes.
Sometimes if you get on a big bus, the more people that get on it, you can kind of sense that the suspension is changing, and then when you get off, you hear that big tss, and the bus kind of drops down a little bit. It's because all the people have gotten out and they don't need that suspension anymore. So this technology has existed for a long time. Now they're going to try and apply it to cars. It will also have the ability to identify if people are injured from a crash.
How would it do that?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Being in the medical profession, I would think that you'd have to have sensors attached to the person that's driving to be able to detect if there's injury. How else would that
happen?
That's
right. Yeah. Maybe there will be sensors in the seats. Would that be enough?
Might be.
Or visual sensors, cameras? Not sure yet.
But whatever it is, it's in the works.
Yes. And it goes on to say, from a safety standpoint, they'll be able to tell if someone is in a serious condition and if the occupants are breathing and their heartbeats. That would be, how would they do that? I'm thinking breathing and,
I'm like you, Steve. I think it would have to be built in the seat. There's got to be some contact with the person's body for them to get that information.
Because even now, the only way that doctors can get that information is by putting the sensors on the human body.
Exactly.
You couldn't tell that just from a video footage, could you? I don't think so, no.
Not at this point.
All right. Ruth, would you help us with this word standpoint for a moment?
Sure. A standpoint is a set of beliefs or ideas in which opinions or decisions are formed. In other words, it's the point that you're looking at a situation from my standpoint, meaning from what I understand and my background, this is what I believe.
Okay. And so from the safety standpoint, from those who are of the opinion that safety is important, then we learn about this technology and the interior sensors and the benefits of them. There will also be a sensor that can detect drowsiness and alert the driver if they need to pull over. I could see this being, you know, facial recognition technology. I could see maybe a computer can see that in a person's face, how they recognize a facial feature where the person is getting tired, the eyes droop a little bit.
Also, I think when people are driving and they're getting drowsy, their head has a tendency to drop a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps that's what the sensor would sense is when your head drops, you know that you're getting tired.
Okay.
As important as all this is, Steve, it's interesting to say it will alert the driver the need to pull over, but it's still up to the driver to make the decision to actually pull over.
Well, also, as the driver, aren't you already aware of the fact that you're sleepy and you should pull over?
Yeah, good point. Maybe there should be some kind of option where you can punish the driver with an electrical shock. Well, you know, if you fall, you start to nod your head, and it'll wake you up with this electricity.
Or maybe it'll put a lock on the car and it'll turn the ignition off for you.
Yeah. Maybe that will be an option in the future.
Maybe it'll take over the steering and just pull you over on the shoulder and it won't let you start the car again.
Yeah, until you take a nap. Well, by the end of the decade, these will be more common and they'll start on the higher-end vehicles first. There again, we see the upper echelon vehicles, the the BMWs,
the Audis,
and the high expensive cars.
But isn't it amazing looking at some of the features that you can find on cars now that they started out as options, but now they've become standard?
Mm-hmm.
And there are quite a few of them.
I remember guys, intermittent windshield wipers. That was a big deal. Like, that was an option.
That's a huge safety feature too.
It is.
Really?
Yeah. And now, of course, every car has that. Next to last, automatic crash notification. Mike, what is this about?
Well, automatic crash notification just alerts the usual or the local emergency squads or the hospitals if there's been an accident.
Okay.
And they will send help.
Okay. That's a great thing if you are unable to reach your cell phone, or if maybe you're unconscious and you have no way to contact it. You're out in the middle of nowhere and you've hit a tree by accident.
Well, also, I think it's very important. In some areas, you're driving through like very wooded areas, and if your car goes off the road and down an embankment, you can't be seen from the road. So your car could sit there for a week and nobody would know you'd had an accident.
That's true.
Whereas if you've got this automatic crash notification, that means somebody knows you've gone off the road and where you are.
Yes. We've heard stories in the news a lot about people going off the side and it taking 6-7 days for them to realize that there's a car down there.
Living in the eastern part of the United States, that does not happen often because there's always traffic on the roads, they'll probably see. But I can imagine coming out west, there's wide open spaces. This would be a great feature to have.
Yeah. So perhaps there's a signal going out from this car, and people can pinpoint through GPS or whatever where exactly the car is.
That would be a good safety feature to have.
Yes. And I think it is being used in some car companies. We talked about this at the break, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's called OnStar or something.
There are others, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Some kind of safety notification system. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember whether the driver has to manually activate it or whether it's automatic.
Okay.
But that's not standard at this point. People have to pay extra for that.
That's right. All right, now we're at our end here with the last one, frontal pedestrian impact mitigation braking. It's a mouthful.
It's a fancy way of saying it will stop before it hits you.
Mm-hmm.
Before it hits somebody walking on the street.
Right.
And there's a little cartoon drawing of a guy on his cell phone, not paying attention. Perfect. All right, pedestrian is another word for someone who walks. It's just a fancy word. It's a formal word to say people who are walking on the street, on the sidewalk, right? And what about the word mitigation, Ruth?
Well, impact mitigation means that it's going to take over that function for you. It's going to make it easier for that to happen. It will mitigate it.
Okay. So you are less likely then to hit that person in front of you. It's designed to prevent collision with people who are walking, and the technology relies on a sensor. So again, it's probably going to take over your brakes. It will automatically apply the car's brakes for you. Not a bad feature, especially here in Asia where we live, and we see this a lot, cars making turns. And yeah.
Also, it's helpful if you're driving through an area where a lot of children are playing, because children don't always look both ways before they run after a ball going out into the street. And if you're driving by a playground and there's kids who are playing, they could very easily run out in front of you. So this would be handy to be able to stop immediately.
Right. Wow. So these are some things we've learned, friends. I think we have 5 today, and we had a few yesterday. Let's go over back to page 12 for a moment and look at the safety shifting to automatic, where smart cars use radar, cameras, and wireless communication to help avoid collisions. And so if you have time, you can go through this little sidebar and read each thing individually. It's talking about the technology used in the lane shifting and how that works more precisely.
You know, it's always amazing to me, Steve, to think about how car makers came up with these different things. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of technology and just figuring out how to make something like this work.
Yes. And we talked about this too, and one of the downsides to all this is that if there's a problem with the computers that run all of these operations, it's going to get pricey, and not everyone can fix it. Like in the old days, you could fix your car almost yourself. A lot of people did do that, and it's becoming harder and harder to do that today.
Yeah, these are all aids that are designed to help safety in cars, but the bottom line to me is driving is still a very serious responsibility, and it hasn't been totally taken away from human beings yet. We all need to pay attention to what we do when we mm-hmm. drive.
And also, I think if you do have all of these different fancy safety features, does that give you a false sense of security? In other words, you think, oh, I don't have to pay as much attention to my driving because I have this extra system that's going to warn me if I'm going to hit somebody.
I think people would feel that way. Not everybody, but I think some people will be lulled into thinking, it's not my responsibility, and I don't need to pay attention as much as I may had in the past.
I think that's the very reason people would spend large amounts of money to have these features, because it eliminates some responsibility for them when they're driving, or the feeling that they don't have to pay as close attention.
Right. So, friends, whether you have these things in your car or not, now or in the future, please, 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 stay alert, be responsible, and be a good defensive driver. Well, we're out of time, but we're thankful, again, that you've joined us today. We hope you've learned some new vocabulary and something new about how automakers are trying to make the streets safer, not just in America, but around the world. And we have another lesson for you next time, so please join us here at Advanced for that. Until then, have a great day.